Welcome to another episode of In the Word of God with Minister Anthony Smith, and I'm more than elated and blessed to be amongst you. And what I am going to do, I'm going to take a look in the book of Revelation, and I'm going to basically deal with these topics right here: the letter to the church in Ephesus, letter to the church in Smyrna, letter to the church in Pergamon, letter to the church in Thyatira, letter to the church in Sardis, letter to the church in Philadelphia, letter to the church in Laodicea. Those will be dealing with letters to the seven churches. It'll be coming out of the book of Revelation. So what we want to do first is let's take a look at who the author of Revelation is. The traditional view is that the Apostle John, the son of Zebedee, wrote the book of Revelation. This position has been challenged by critical scholars. Nevertheless, it is still the most defensible view. The writer identifies himself as John in chapter 1, verses 1 and 4 and 9, and in chapter 22, verse 8. Presumably a well-known John among first century Christians. The many allusions of the Old Testament found in the book, as well as the style of writing, suggests the author was a Jewish Christian from Palestine. According to the early church tradition, the Apostle John ministered from about AD 70 to 100 in Asia Minor. The location of the seven churches in Asia, chapter 1, verses 4 and 11, chapter 2, verses 1 through chapter 3, and verses 22. Thus, these believers would have been well acquainted with him. Furthermore, all of the earliest Christian writers attributed the book to John the Apostle. Now we move into the historical background. John addressed Revelation to seven churches in Asia Minor, which is now modern-day Turkey: the church in Ephesus, in Smyrna, in Pergamum, in Thyatira, in Sardis, in Philadelphia, and the one in Laodicea. Conservative evangelical scholars have suggested various dates for the time of this writing. Some believe that the persecution experienced by these churches reflects the reign of Nero in the late 60s, but the majority favor a date in the mid-90s during the reign of the Roman Emperor Domitian, who ruled from AD 81 to 96. Early church tradition attests that local persecution of Christians took place under Domitian, and that John was exiled to the island of Patmos during his reign. These early Christian writers support a mid-90s date for the writing of Revelation. Thus, the aged apostle wrote that Jesus Christ revealed to him while he endured exile for his faithful preaching ministry. So the message and purpose. The book of Revelation is specifically designed to explain what happens before, during, and after the return of Jesus Christ. It can be summarized in one phrase: things to come. It explains what God's prophetic kingdom program is and how it works, and offers the most comprehensive detail in all of Scripture. This book has two goals: to encourage Christians to live righteous and holy lives in the light of prophetic time, in light of the prophetic timetable that is to come, and to challenge unbelievers about the judgment ahead if they reject Christ. The Apostle John begins by telling the church how it ought to live. He tells each church the special reward believers will receive for living holy lives that are pleasing to the Lord. Then he enters into an extensive description of the tribulation that fulfills many Old Testament prophecies, as well as Jesus' Olivet Discourse. This section also describes God's dealings with Israel after the church has been raptured and the times of the Gentiles have ended. This leads to Christ's millennial kingdom on earth, followed by the judgment of unbelievers and the transition into the new heaven and new earth, the eternal state in which believers will be with the Lord forever. So that's the background, the introduction to the book of Revelation. And like I said, we are going to look at the seven churches. But I think what I want to do first here is take a look at the first 16 verses in chapter 1. Before we get into those churches, we want to give you a prelude to John's vision of Jesus. Actually, that will run us through verses 20. So we're going to look at verses 1 through 20 in the book of Revelation. Basically, that will cover this whole chapter. Then, from this day moving forward, we will look at those letters to the seven churches. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. So Revelation is one of the most difficult biblical books to interpret. The subject matter and widespread symbolism can make it hard to determine what to take literally and what to take figuratively. But even though it's a challenge, it can't be ignored. The warning near the end of the book, chapter 22, verse 18, makes it clear that God expects us to take it seriously. So looking at verses 1 and 2, the theme and title of the book are displayed in its opening phrase. The revelation of Jesus Christ refers to Christ's unveiling or disclosure of matters related to his second coming to earth. The recipient of this disclosure is his servant John. The apostle regularly referred to themselves as servants of God because being dependent upon and yielded to God is the best way to hear his voice. Indeed, as the Lord's servant, John received the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so. Amen. So let's look at those verses, which ran from verses 3, verses 7. It says, blessing comes from hearing and reading this book and then heeding the commands written in it. Knowing and obeying God's word in Revelation is particularly important because the time is near. That is, the return of Christ is imminent. It could happen at any time. Speaking of the seven churches in Asia is a way of speaking of all churches because the number seven represents completion or fullness. These churches are representative of all Christian churches throughout history. Though written by John, the content of Revelation is from the one who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits, that is, from the completeness or fullness of the Holy Spirit, the number seven is the number of completeness, and from Jesus Christ. The Trinitarian reference here is clear, with the rule of God being linked to all three persons of the Godhead. Jesus, John says, is the firstborn from the dead, the first of a whole company of people who will one day rise from the grave because they are set free from their sins by his blood. Jesus also is the ruler of the kings of the earth, though his personal earthly kingdom rule is not yet visible in history. It will become so at his second coming. As priests of God's kingdom, believers are to represent men to God and God to men. The long-term goal of this plan is to bring God glory and to establish his kingdom rule and agenda forever. When Christ returns, it is going to be a spectacle because every eye will see him as he rotates around the sun at his return. Looking at verse 8, we're going to take verses 8 through 12 now. And he says, in verse 8, he says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. So from that, Alpha and Omega are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet, signifying that God is the beginning and the end. He's the creator of all things, and he'll bring history to its conclusion. He is the one who is, who was, and who is to come. God is yesterday, today, and tomorrow, because he exists eternally. But later in the letter, it's Jesus who calls himself the Alpha and Omega. And clearly, he is the coming one. This is not surprising, though, because Jesus is the second person of the Trinity and the co-equal with the Father. John had been exiled to the island of called Patmos in the Aegean Sea because of his Christian faith and his refusal to compromise the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. John was in the spirit, that is, he was thinking and functioning spiritually, engulfed in the spiritual framework on the Lord's day, the first day of the week, when he heard a loud voice like a trumpet. The voice told him, write down what he saw and send it to the seven churches, a group representative of all churches. The seven churches are represented by seven golden lampstands to signify the expression of divine life that should radiate through all churches. Indeed, churches are to illuminate their communities. What I'm going to do here, I'm going to bring this to a stopping point right here. I will come back with part two. It will be ready tomorrow or maybe even later today. But this is part one of this chapter one, the prologue in John's vision of Jesus coming out of Revelation chapter one, as we lead into the letters to the seven churches. So I pray that today is a blessing unto those who hear this. If you like it, share it, follow me, leave comments, or if you just want to, leave words of encouragement. Whatever you do, always keep me in your prayers. Matter of fact, let us close out in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come once again on this day, knowing that this is the day which you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Not just glad because of the good that you have blessed us with, but also during the times that we have to endure before we can get to the good. We say thank you for allowing us to be up. Thank you for the activities of our limbs. Thank you for clothing us in our right mind. Thank you for a reasonable portion of our health and strength. Oh Lord, we ask that you be a shield of protection around us this day. Keep us from all hurt, harm, and danger, seen and unseen, as we travel to our different destinies this morning. Let these words be a blessing to those who are in need of a blessing, who need to be strengthened by your word. For it's at the name of Jesus, there's healing in your name, there's forgiveness in your name, there's power in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Lord God, we ask that you just keep us close. If there's anything like sin, remove it from us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tune back in, and part two of this will be ready possibly as early as this evening. But enjoy this first part of this basically prologue in John's vision of Jesus, Revelation chapter 1. We will conclude it later this evening. Be blessed and be a blessing.